Ukraine security issue.
On July 20th, the 147th day of Russia's full-scale war against Ukraine, the fierce fighting for Donbas continued. On Tuesday night, Russian shells and missiles struck two Kyiv-controlled villages in the Luhansk region, which the invaders have been unable to capture for almost a month. Having seized the last two big cities in the region, Lysychansk and Severodonetsk, after weeks of suicidal attacks, the Russian army is too exhausted to launch new massive offensives. So the Russians are trying to compensate for their defeats and losses on the battlefield by terrorizing unarmed Ukrainian civilians. In Severodonetsk, the unfortunate residents who were unable to flee the city have no gas or electricity or water. According to Pavlo Kirilenko, head of the Donetsk Region Military Administration, the Donetsk region is also under constant shelling. The occupiers want to take Bakhmut, so they terrorize locals in the villages close to the town. At present, there is not a single safe place in the region, he said. We understand the enemy's plans. Their main goal is to seize Slovyansk with subsequent access to Renazi strategic city Kramatorsk. But the professional actions of the Ukrainian army keep the outnumbering Russian troops from advancing, said Pavlo Kirilenko. In the south, the Ukrainian army does not only hold the line of defense, but also launches limited counterattacks, knocking Russians out of villages. Last night, Ukrainian long-range artillery struck several enemy command posts, control stations and logistical bases, and battle aircraft struck a tank platoon and emptied a fortified outpost. The Russian forces deployed to the southern front line are reported to be short of ammunition, water and food due to the recent series of Ukrainian strikes on their depots and bases, as well as the increased activity of Ukrainian partisans. In response, the Russian authorities enforced tougher restrictions on residents of occupied villages and towns. Russian patrols kill on the spot anyone they see outdoors during the curfew. Control at checkpoints is very strict, and the number of arbitrary searches and detentions has grown considerably. In the occupied Kherson region, the Russians are literally hunting for teachers. They intimidate and abduct teachers, trying to force them to cooperate. The purpose is to open the new school year with Russian curricula and textbooks, according to Dmytro Butry, provisional governor of the Kherson region. The situation in the region remains critical. There is shortage of medicines, food and hygienics. The orcs have increased pressure on our people. They stop people right on the street, search their phones and cars, and force men to get undressed. They take teachers from their homes and force them in every way they can to work for them, said Dmytro Butry. However, according to him, the pressure, acts of intimidation and arrests only fan patriotic sentiments and make the partisan movement grow even stronger. The Russian occupying authorities have warned that any disobedience will be punished by eviction from the dwelling and deportation. The same threats are made in the occupied part of the neighboring Zaporizhia region. Moscow views the south of Ukraine as a potential habitat for Russian families that could resettle there, since most Russian towns do not have such developed infrastructure. Boris Babin, a Ukrainian lawyer specializing in international legal affairs, told Radio Liberty that Russia would deport Ukrainians from the occupied southern towns and villages in order to solve its demographic problems. This is going to be exactly what the Nazis did during World War II when they brought slave laborers from occupied countries to Germany and allotted land plots to would-be German farmers. The Russians are planning the same. In their filtration camps, they sort Ukrainians out and divide them into pro-Russian and pro-Ukrainian. The latter get into Russian prisons with abominable conditions and torture, Babin said. There are still more than 100,000 people in the ruined Azov port city of Mariupol, barely surviving without supplies of water, food and medicines. Russian soldiers loot the few remaining houses, hospitals, schools and industrial buildings. They have taken away almost all metal products from the Azovstal steelworks. According to Mariupol mayor Vadim Boychenko, more than 10,000 people are being held in four Russian filtration camps in the suburbs.
Зараз в полоні, в тюрмі знаходяться держслужбовці, муніципальні працівники, яких вони заарештовували, відправляли за грати.
There they are holding public servants, municipal workers. They are torturing them. One of the municipal officials didn't survive the torture and died. But there are many more such cases. In one of the filtration camps, they are holding almost 2,000 men. We understand what they are up to. The Russians have announced that in September they will hand out Russian passports, which means men with Russian passports will be immediately sent to the front, said Vadim Boychenko. The Russians continue to mercilessly shell the Ukrainian cities and villages that they failed to occupy. Valentin Reznichenko, head of the Dnipropetrovsk Region Military Administration, reported on Wednesday that in a single day, two people had died and another nine, including a three-year-old child, were injured in a Russian missile strike on the city of Nikopol. On Wednesday, the invaders fired a multiple launch rocket system targeting a bus stop in Kharkiv. As a result, three people were killed, including a 13-year-old boy. On Tuesday night, 10 Ukrainian regions came under fire from Russian troops.